We're up to the Mishnah on Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph here in Psachim, where the Mishnah introduces us to four new concepts: Shachtu Shalol Leochlov, V'Shalol Menuyav, La'areilim, U'Tameim. So our goal today is going to be to focus on the first two of these ideas, Ochlim and Menuyim, to understand them and how they fit into the context of the other psulim that we've been dealing with until now, how they relate to each other. Shachtu Shalol Leochlov. So what exactly does it mean that something is Shalol Leochlov? So Rashi, on the previous daf, we saw on Samach Amud Aleph, Divra HaMaschil, Shalol Leochlov, Rashi there said, L'chola ulezakein she'ein yecholin lechol kazayis ve'ein bo menuyim acherim elohein. Rashi, Samach Amud Aleph, Divra HaMaschil Shalol Leochlov. On our page, there is no definition. So Rashi there says two things. Number one, it's for a chole and a zakein that cannot eat a kazayis. So this sounds similar to Shitas Rashi later on Sadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, Divra HaMaschil Va'afilu, where Rashi's opinion is that even if one individual member of this chabura could not eat a whole kazayis, as long as collectively they could eat a kazayis, it would not be a problem. Which is a very interesting shita.
Sorry, how does that sound?
Why does Rashi say that this is L'chol l'zakein she'en yechol lechol kazayis ve'en bo menuyim acherim elohein? Why do they have to be the only other? Why do they have to be the only menuyim? Why is that shalol leochlov? Why does Rashi think they have to be the only menuyim? So Tosfos here says, I don't think I agree with you. Tosfos says, even if there were other menuyim, my iria shalol leochlov afilu stam nami v'nira demayri diyesha menuyim acherim. There are other menuyim. So perhaps according to Rashi, I think the Netziv points this out, or someone else points this out, that it's dafka, these are the only menuyim, and they can't eat, because according to Rashi, if you had some menuyim on it who could eat, that would not be a problem. The other component here, which the Mikdash David suggests, is that the reason why for Rashi there are no other menuyim on this is because the Yerushalmi tells us, there is this interesting Yerushalmi, there's a machlokas amuroim, what happens if you have 10 people who are money on a carbon Pesach, and you shech the carbon Pesach only for 5 of them? So one opinion of the Yerushalmi is that it's pasul, and that by excluding some people who were supposed to be money on this carbon, you have gotten rid of them. And by getting rid of them, you are matvis their kapara on the people that you have, and even the 5 remaining is pasul. So he thinks that perhaps Rashi holds that if you had other people who could eat, then having kavana for only part of your chabura would be a psul like that Yerushalmi. So that's the first definition that Rashi puts out there, that the people who are ochlim, they have to be roy to eat, number one. And that, number two, according to Rashi, bein kulam, they have to be able to eat a kazayis. But the Rambam clearly understands that every individual has to be able to eat a kazayis. So when it says shalol ochlov, it means people who physically cannot eat the korban Pesach, either in its entirety, or in their entirety, one kazayis, or every person a kazayis. Okay? Point one, shalol ochlov, people have to be able to eat the korban Pesach. Good? Yes? No? Got it? Okay. Shalol ochlov, so what exactly are you doing when you shech the korban Pesach? shalola ochlov. Shachto shalola ochlov. What does it mean? Shachto shalola ochlov. How do you translate the words? What does it mean for them? Any idea?
Seems like it's to feed them.
Right, so the simple understanding is that when you shecht the karbon, your intention is that the people who you are thinking of are going to eat this karbon Pesach. So shalola ochla means you're shechting the karbon with the intention that the chola will eat this karbon Pesach. The zakin will eat this karbon Pesach. That's the simple way of understanding it. That's how the Or Sameach explains it. This is also the simple understanding based on Rashi in Samach Beis Amid Beis, where Rashi is discussing the concept of Efshalavar Isuro. So the second option in the Inami, Rashi says, Inami levar im emes machshavto im ein ba mamish, kagon yachilenu l'ru'uyin v'nimtzeis machshavto b'tel ma'freilu she'enu r'u'uyin yachzer d'meim, etc. So according to Rashi, depending on who will eat it, that could be mamvara l'mafreya, who it was that you had intended to eat it. That's the simple way of understanding Rashi. However,
which Rashi?
The Rashi, Samach Beis, Amid Beis, Dira Maskel, E. Efshar, that according to the Inami, when you feed someone, that clarifies, it's Mevara, Lamafreya, what your intention was initially, who you were going to feed. That was your original Kavana. If you look in the Briska Rav thinks that this is untenable. He does not think that this makes any sense. This is the Briska Rav and the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach, where he thinks that it doesn't make sense to have a machshava b'shas shechita about someone who's eating. Why not? He says, because the only time you find a machshava about someone who's eating is in the context of pigol. But outside of pigol, there's no such thing as about a machshava of someone who is eating. So what is shalo la'ochlov, according to the Briska Rav? Shalo la'ochlov means that you think about someone who is bailim on this, who has the authority, that has the right to feed it to someone. And he suggests that that might be what it means in Rashi and Samach Aleph Amid Beis, Dira Maskel Shachto, Laha'achilo Lemenuyim. Laha'achilo Lemenuyim doesn't mean, as the way we understood it the first time, that the shechita was that that person should eat it. Rather, it's that that person has the authority to feed it to someone. It's a shear in bilus. Okay? So what is la'ochlov? It means for people who are physically capable of eating it. What is shalola ochlov? According to the simple understanding, it means to think that someone who is a cholo zakein will eat it, or according to the Briska Rav, no, it's a traditional din of who is the bailam of the karbon. I'm thinking that this should be for a particular person who is the bailam of this karbon. Good.
The Briska Rav
is saying la'ochlov just means that I am shechting it for somebody who has sufficient bilus that they could feed it to someone, but not that they themselves. It's not that I'm thinking that Ploni the Zakin will eat it.
So you're not thinking about a Zakin or a Chol. You think it's the owner who could feed it to other people?
That's correct. So he thinks that it's related to Shalola Menuyev.
Not the
The simple just means that when I shecht it, this shechita is to create a heter achila, to create food for somebody who's a chol or a zakein. And this is what, if you look in the Or Sameach that was on the Mar Makomos, this is what the Or Sameach writes is the inherent connection between la'ochlov and shchita, because shchita is a generic maisa, which even outside the realm of kachim is a matir for achila. If you don't say like the briskarov, if you don't say like the orsameach, the simple understanding is that if you view the Karman Pesach as ikaro la'achila, that the primary purpose of the Shechitas HaPesach is to create the achila, which is going to come later on, then the Briska Rav's Tamiya is not a question at all. It's true in other Karbanos, you don't have a machshava on the achila, but that's because the achila in other Karbanos is not the central motif. But in Karban Pesach, we understand that lo ba mitchila ela la'achila, the whole purpose of Karban Pesach is almost a hechitimtzi for the meal. So then it makes sense why shchita for somebody who's going to eat it is a new type of machshava specific to Karban Pesach. And it's not difficult at all to understand how that should exist. Okay. This first of these machshavas of shelo la'ochlov, how does this relate to all the machshavas that we've been talking about until now? This din of shelo la'ochlov is first appearing here in Pesachim Adav Samach Aleph. It did not appear in the context of Maseches Zvachim. It didn't appear in the context of Menachos. So what's the relationship between this local Pesach din and the general psul of machshavas that we've seen until now, which were Shinei Kodesh and Shinei Bailim, or as the Rambam groups them together, as Shinei Hashem. Who asked this question? The Gemara asked this question on Samach Beis of Adveis. Ma bein l'shmo v'shalo l'shmo l'ochlov l'shalo l'ochlov. So Tosfos is even wondering why you even have such a shaila. They're so fundamentally different. So Tosfos says, well, maybe you should think that you should learn one from the other. But l'chora, the conclusion of the Gemara is exactly that you can't learn one from the other. Why? Because they are fundamentally different. Now, the Gemara gives you several distinctions. There seems to be a split. There are some distinctions which are clear. Let's say, Yeshno B'dalad Avodos is only a psul in Shinei Hashem, and Shelo La'ochlov is only a psul in Shechita. Tzibur Kebayachid, according to Tosus, is another way of saying universal versus Pesach. But then we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan, I think that's the first day here, Rabbi Yochanan and Ravashi, whether or not you have two different reasons of psula begufa b'ef shav l'arisura, or one reason of psula begufa because e'ef shav l'var isura. What's the Gemara trying to tell us? The Gemara is trying to tell us that the din of Shinoi Kodesh, at least, and potentially also Shina Bailim, is a universal din that's true for all machshavas, all karbanos, as opposed to this is a local din for Karban Pesach. We already saw an allusion to this in the Gemara earlier on in Samach Amud Beis. Samach Amud Beis, where we discussed Lishma and Stama Lishma of La'ochlov v'shalo la'ochlov. This was on Samach Amud Beis. And the Gemara said, Kama de lo'okali b'shchita stame vada lishmo koi, but hacha stame lo'ochlov koi, really? Dilma mimshchi hani v'ase achrini u'mimni alei. That there is no built-in stame lishma when it comes to la'ochlin. And there is a shiur from Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. It's in the back of a shiur in Psachim in Os Kuf Ayin Beis, where he explains this Gemara that when it comes to the Shem Karban, Shinei Kodesh, there is a chalos be'etzem ha-karban. But the lishma, even when you have stama lishma for ochlim, and if you remember way back when we talked about stama lishma, the simple understanding is that stama lishma is created when you invest the kedusha on the karban. So at that time you're defining the Shem Karban and the Bailim. But he says there's a fundamental difference between the shame carbon, the definition of the carbon, and the bilum of the carbon. The fact that you can change nimnin umoshu nisideim onto the carbon, even if you say stumbleishma and they didn't change bilum and the stumbleishma works, but it's a different type of stumbleishma. What the Gemara is trying to tell you is that the nature of the shame carbon and the bilum is fundamentally different. That when you say stam lishma on the Pesach lishma, that's because there is a chalos be'etzma korban. But that's not true on the ochlim. The ochlim do not create a chalos in what he calls the etzem ha-korban. And the minute, therefore, that you shecht shalola ochlov, there's no din of stam lishma. The whole stam lishma, the assumption of stam lishma works when you have a presumption because of the chalos in the carbon, which was exactly the Briska Rav's chiddush, which he took even further to say that stam lishma never leaves. But if the shame of the ochlim was never part of the identity of the carbon, because it can come and go, therefore shaloli ochlov is not even overriding the lishma. There's no stam lishma there at all. And he's medayikit in the lashon of Rabbeinu Chananel, where the lashon is the following. Bishlama Pesach, me'is sheikdisho l'shem Pesach, vaday nikva l'shem Pesach, ustamo shem Pesach olav, v'efshalo lahafkio mikdushaso. This is Rabbeinu Chananel, Samach Amud Beis. It is v'akshinan Allah v'docha Rava avohani ochlin midbak deviki bey. You see the lashon in the Rabbeinu Chananel? Midbak deviki bey. The ochlim, they are stuck to, they're glued to, they're attached to the carbon Pesach, but that's not the etzem shame carbon. Midbak deviki bey. So says Rev Shmuel Rosofsky that this is the fundamental difference between the psul of shalol la'ochlov and the psul of shalol lishma. Lishma, it damages, it relates to the etzem shem hakarbon that was invested in it from the beginning. Shalol la'ochlov is a tangential psul. It's a psul because you have bilim who are midbak tibiki, like it says in the Lashon of Rabbeinu Chananel. But fundamentally, it's totally different than the din of shalol lishma. Good? Got it? You got it? There's shalol lishma that relates to the fundamental definition of the carbon. What is the carbon? There's li'ochlov, shalol li'ochlov, which does not relate to the definition of the carbon. It relates to the bilim. These, they are connected to the carbon, but they do not define the shame carbon itself. That's what the Rabbeinu Chananel is explaining.
Whether they're connected, but they get back off.
So first of all, that's what the Gemara says. You can have people who get on and off of a carbon Pesach. You can change teams at any time. But what they're saying is that is a symptom, that is the simen, that the relationship between the bilim or the ochlim or the menuim, whatever you're going to refer to them in this context as, the relationship between the ochlim and the carbon is not inherent. It's only tangential. It's only, like the Rabbeinu Chananel says, midbak debiki.
Who says this?
Rabbeinu Chananel. That's Rav Shmuel Rosofsky says this explanation. He does not. He does not. Okay, so this is Ad Kan for Shalola Ochlov. Next in the Mishnah is Shalola Menuyev. What exactly does it mean to be manui on the Karban Pesach? We know what it means to be an ochel. You have to eat a kazayis. What does it mean to be monoi on the Karban Pesach? So Rashi and Ayin Amud Beis in Divra Maskil Nina, Mino Yadi Abayla B'Shlosha Sotishtei Chubasu Muetes, Harikol Shah Boin V'Nimnet Olam Anosha Me'alma Next line is the key line. Vikonin lahen chelek min abaylin ad shashchita. Rashi says you need to purchase, you need to buy a share of the Korban Pesach. What qualifies as minuyim? Somebody who bought a share of the Korban Pesach from the baylin.
You say what? You mean like give money? Or can someone be zoyeh in a portion?
You need a kinyan.
Kinyan.
You need a kinyan.
He doesn't have to. Money.
How would you get something if someone didn't pay it for you? So, in many areas of halacha, we assume that matana kemecher dami. Okay, but that's the equivalent of purchasing it. Rashi's lashon is vekonin lo. You have to buy it. You have to buy it.
Or just make a kinyan. Acquire a portion.
That's correct. You have to be kone. You have to acquire it. You have to buy it.
Even though the general impression kapara is the main side of bailus, you're need a financial statement.
Correct. Usually, let's say...
There are different ways to get that financial statement.
Let's say you need a financial statement, which is Rashi. Usually, let's say when it comes to a regular din and kachim, I could theoretically be makdish a karbon, lehiskaperbo, somebody else. Let's say there's a nazir walking down the street and I want to help him out. So I can be makdish, my animal, as that guy's, his carbonos nazir. He's going to be miskaper with it. So it's my animal.
But that isn't ever requiring.
Yes, that's correct. And they're going to shecht the coin, or the bile, whoever, they're going to shecht it, that guy, lehiskaperbo acher. Somebody else is the miskaper. And this is what we discussed in the beginning of Zvachim. Sometimes there are complicated cases where identifying who the miskaper is and who the bailam are, it's a very tricky thing. This is also a distinction that relates to Tamura. Who makes Tamura? Exactly. So, and what happens when you have a quasi-miskaper, what Gemara calls miskaper mikufia. But what Rashi is telling you is that when it comes to Pesach, it's totally different. Minuyim, if you are a financial owner of the Korban Pesach, you are manui. If you are not financially participating in the Korban Pesach, if you do not own a portion of the Korban Pesach is not mesiachis to you. You are not minuyev. Okay? You got it?
It's something I can give the actual
you have
value.
Rashi's also says you have to be kone, you have to acquire it. So however you're going to procure that financial stake in the carbon, that is what is necessary. Maybe, I'm not sure, because in the case of the oreach, you don't need a kazayas of oil, you just need a portion. Lechora, according to Rashi, well, maybe not Rashi Shitoso, but I'm assuming, maybe that's a bad idea, but you may have to actually purchase a kazayis worth, right? A pruta may not get you the amount of oil that you need to burn for the lights of Hanukkah, but the pruta is just your hishtatfus. Here, you actually have to purchase a portion. I didn't see anybody talk about this, whether you need to purchase a kazayis worth. That's a good question. Stama, you should. Stama, you would need to buy a kazayis worth, because you have to own your chelek. However, it does not sound like this from the Rambam. The Rambam does not, to my knowledge, the Rambam does not indicate that you have to be a financial stakeholder in the Korban Pesach. So what do you need? You need to be a person who is roy to eat the Korban Pesach and participates in the minoy of the Korban Pesach. It's interesting that this distinction between Rashi and the Rambam is picked up on in the Mikdash David, as well as in Rav Chaim HaLevi Soloveitchik and Hilchos Korban Pesach and Perek Beis Halacha Vav, where they are focused on understanding the relationship between a person's minoy and a person's bailus. Where the Rambam, his assumption is, let's start this way. According to Rashi, to be considered to be manui, you need to be a financial bailam. Whereas for the Rambam, it's possible, theoretically, you don't have to be financially an owner of the carbon to be manui on the carbon pesach.
You have to, like, sign up.
You have to be roy. You have to, exactly. You have to just sign up. So the question is, let's say you have somebody who can't eat. So how can they participate in the carbon pesach? So according to the Rambam, the Mikdash David and Reb Chaim, they think that that person, Taka, can't participate in the Karban Pesach. Your only participation is not financial, it's that you're signing up to join and eat in the Karban Pesach. But if you can't eat, so they actually have two different cases, we're not going to get into all the details, that you're, if at the time of Shechita, you're incapable of eating, Reb Chaim's Lashon is that your Minui is Batel. Your Minui is Batel because the only minui is that you are signing up to be part of the people who are going to eat it, and if you can't eat it, your minui is batel. But according to Rashi, that's not true. According to Rashi, the minui is significant in that you are a financial stakeholder. What's the nafkamina of being a financial stakeholder? When you're an owner, what can you do? You could be mamana acherim. You could sell your portion to somebody else. We're not going to be maruk on this because this opens up a little bit of a Pandora's box about, which is difficult, about so understanding.
You have a Rashi, because Rashi says you have chabura, which makes us with Menas Hashem. So that means the inner Ochan are in the chabura.
Okay. Reb Chaim has ways to get out of that, depending on what stage in the carbon it's happening. But this shot is a little bit tricky because, as we will see, the relationship between Shinui, between Shalola Menuyav and Shalola Bailav is complicated. And we will see later that the Rambam seems to drive a wedge between those two. And so Reb Chaim's assumption that the Minui is Nisbatel because the person isn't an Ochel becomes a problem for the Shalola Bailav issue. So we're going to leave that aside, but the point I just wanted to raise here is, if somebody asks you, what does it mean to be money on the Karban Pesach? Rashi thinks it means you have to pay. The Rambam thinks it means you have to sign up. You have to just be a participant in the group of people who are going to eat. So now, we have the psul of Shalol Yochlov. We now have a new requirement that you have to be Menuyav. The Gemara says Menuyav comes from Tachosu, and we have a Hekesh between the two. Ashkachan Iskish Ochlin Lemenuyim. So what is that Iskish Ochlin Lemenuyim? What's the relationship between Shalol Lyochlov, the first psul that we mentioned, and Shalol Lemenuyav, the second psul? So you know what Tosa says? Tosa says it's actually one giant psul. It's one overarching category. There's a problem of people who cannot eat. Either they can't eat because they don't have teeth, or they can't eat because they're not menuyim on the Karban Pesach. So they can't eat because they're not participants in the sign-up. Or they can't eat because they're arelim. Or they can't eat because they're temeim. All of these are one catch-all psul of cannot eat, of shalol ochlov. And the truth is, it's actually a little bit strange for Tosfos why it is that you needed to enumerate four different categories. Why do you need a limud for Shalol Lemenuyav? It's really just subsumed under Shalol Abaylov. Unlike Tosfos, the Rambam Lechora thinks the exact opposite. The Rambam thinks that these are two totally different dinim, and quite the opposite. Whereas for Tosfos, the overarching principle here is the ability to eat, and it's really a Shalol Ochlov din. Lechora, for the Rambam, it's the opposite, because the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Beis in Hilchos Karban Pesach, the Rambam does not start with the din of Lo'ochlov. The Rambam starts with the din of Shalol Lemenuyav. Why? Because then the Rambam adds, for emphasis, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, Ein Shochten Es HaPesach Elo Lemenuyav, Shenemar Tachosu Al Haseh Malamed Shehein Misman En Olav Keshu Chai. Why does the Rambam add that last line? For the Rambam, the purpose of the din of Menuyin is to create a halachic category called Bnei Chabura. When you sign up for the Karban Pesach, you become part of a Chabura. Shelo l'menuyav means that you have violated the status of the chabura. And that's why, perhaps with the Rambam, the Ikar Limud in the Gemara is from Shelo l'menuyav, because that's the main principle here, that we need to create menuyim. Within menuyim, you have a category of people who can participate, who can be menuyim. One of those groups that's excluded is people who can't eat. Another one is going to be Arel. Now, the Rambam is going to drive a wedge between Arel and menuyim, which we'll mention in a second. But there is a fascinating nafkamina, or an expression of this distinction between Tosfos and the Rambam, in the writings of Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlau. Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlau has a suggestion that perhaps the Rambam is in agreement with a very fascinating and shocking comment of the Rash Mishantz on the Toras Kohanim. The Rash Mishantz on the Toras Kohanim in Parsha Sav, he has a suggestion. He thinks that there's actually no iser, there's no lav for a person to eat from a Korban Pesach on which they are not manui. And Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau thinks that the Rambam agrees with that.
But he won't be yotzi, but he'll be yotzi. He's not over a love.
He's not over a love.
He won't be yotzi in the midst of the Korban Pesach.
That's an interesting question. I'm trying to remember if the... Because the...
Yeah, maybe yotzi. I mean, the Rika is a robe.
Yeah,
he was part of the group.
It's not his carbon, but it's like in general that you can eat in general from somebody else's carbon. So the Rambam just says Ein shochten es haPesach elo lemenuyav shenemar tachosu alaseh. You only shecht a carbon Pesach for the people who are menuyim, says Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlau. It does not say that if you're not monui, there's an iser to eat from this carbon. Meaning, for the Rambam, the din of menuyim is only to create a chabura. Once you have a chabura, you are mekayim the din of menuyim. It happens to be that if you're not monui, you can't be yotzei the carbon Pesach by eating my kazayas from my carbon Pesach, but you haven't violated any din. As opposed to Tosfos, Tosfos will say, absolutely not. The criteria of people who are allowed to eat from a Korban Pesach are Ochlin, Menuyim, Mulim, and Tahorim. If you're not one of those people, then there's an Isser.
And where's the Isser of Inamalai come from?
It'll be more like a Lava Ba Mechlal Asay. Tachosu. What's that?
From
Ishtofiyako to Chosu. Well, that's a machlokas rishon, whether a lava ba mechlal asay is more of an asay or more of a los asay. Now, within this machlokas between Tosus and the Rambam is another sub machlokas, which we're not going to talk about today, but when we get to Arelim, it's going to be more prominent. For Tosfos, these are all grouped together as one din. All four of these dinim. For the Rambam, you splice them out. Tzigizunt. Ochlim is different than menuyim. Tzigizunt. Which makes sense why the Rambam will also distinguish between ochlim and arelim. Because for the Rambam, there is no one generic din. Unlike Tosfos on the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Aleph assumes that arelim and ochlim go together. The Rambam in Perek Beis later in Halacha Vav distinguishes between Ochlim and Arelim. This Machlokas, Tosfos and the Rambam, whether or not Arelim are connected to Ochlim, is a subset of this same issue as to whether or not all the four Psulim are one category or they're separate categories. For Tosfos, they're one big category, and for the Rambam, they are separate categories. Seder, Ad Kan for the relationship between Shalola Menuyav and Shalola Ochlov. So we know what Shalola Ochlov is, we know what Shalola Menuyav is, and we have a machlokas as to how connected are they? For Tosfos, they are very connected. For the Rambam, they are not so connected. The biggest question to ask, though, is what is the relationship between Shelo Lemenuyav and Shinui Bailin? Right? We talked about, the Gemara addressed the issue of Shelo Leochlov and Shelo Leshma. What about Shelo Lemenuyav and Shelo Lebailov? So there are different ways of looking at this issue. Rashi, we already dealt with this Rashi on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph before the Mishnah, the lengthy Rashi Avol B'Shinui Bailim, where Rashi told us that there is a fusion, you could say, emerging, an overlapping, an integration between the dinim of Shelo Lemenuyav, which is a local Pesach din, Rashi acknowledges, and the din of Shelo Lebailov, which is a universal din. Similar to Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar, in my edition that I printed out, it's Simon Shin Nud Ches, it's in the Chidushim on Psachim, but different editions have different ones, so if you want, I can just make a Xerox for you. The Lashon of the Rabbeinu Tam is, Ubepesach Bismano Ika Trei Gavni Machsheves Bailim. There are two expressions of Machsheves Bailim. That's the regular one that we're familiar with in Kol Torah Kula. And where do we know it from? One din. One integrated din. So why do you need two drashos? We have one makar for Shinui Bailim and Zvachim and one makar for Shelo Lemenuyav. So the answer is, one is to tell you that there is a din of Shinui Bailim that relates to the kapara. And the other drasha is to tell you, tachosu, that there's a din of Shinui Bailim in the Achila. Why do you need a hekesh? What's the hekesh between Ochlim and Menuyim? According to Rashi, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, Menuyim is another word for Shinui Bailim, a universal psul. Maybe even a psul aguf, right? Depending on the Deus and Tosis and Zvachim Daftal and Amid Beis. So what's the relationship between Ochlim and Menuyim? Menuyim is din of Shinui Bailim. So the Dvar Shmuel points out that the reason for that hekesh is just to teach you that Shelo Lemenuyav miktsas einu menuyim lo pasla. That we're going to carry over one din from Ochlim, miktsas Ochlim lo pasli. We're also going to carry that din to Shelo Lemenuyav. But otherwise, Shelo Lemenuyav has nothing to do with Shelo Leochlov, because it's more a din in Shinui Bailim. Yeah.
You know, the Gemara, the Hekesh was from Menuyim to Ochlin. So the Rosh Shmuel is saying, we're going to learn from Ochlin to Menuyim.
Yeah. Miktsas, yeah. That's how I understand it.
And Miktsas itself came from Orel.
Yeah, I don't have the Dvar Shmuel in front of me, but I think that's what he said, yeah. However, unlike Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos here in Dibur Maskil V'Iskish, Tosfos says, absolutely not. These are two totally different dinim. If they were the same din, why would you say, excuse me, that Shelo Lemenuyav is only a psul in Shechita, it should be a psul in the Da'ar Avodos, like the din of Shinui Bailim in general. Similarly, the Rambam treats these two dinim in two totally different contexts. He mentions Shelo Lemenuyav here at the beginning of Perek Beis and Hilchos Korban Pesach, and he deals with Shelo Lebailov, we saw in multiple places, in Psulim Mukdashim and Maaser Karbanos. Sounds like for the Rambam, they're totally unrelated, which would make sense. Why? The Gemara never connected the two, never overlapped the two. So what is then the difference between Shalol LeMinuyav and Shalol LeBailov? So Shalol LeBailov relates to the Miskaper, says Tosfos, and Shalol LeMinuyav is similar to Shalol LeOchlov in that it relates to the Ochlim. Now this comes back very nicely now to that original point of Rav Shmuel Rezavsky, in that if you look in the Chidushi HaGram VaHagrid, Rav Moshe and Rav Yosheber Soloveitchik, Zichronim Levracha, they both make the same point that the difference, there's a fundamental difference, which is that the concept of Shinoi Bailim is a Machshava HaPoselis, similar to that Briska Rav. It's a Machshava HaPoselis in the Karban. As opposed to when it comes to the din of Shalol LeMinuyav, it's not a Machshava HaPoselis. It's just a Choser Hechsher. It's just, it doesn't relate to the Shem Karban. It's just a lack. In a certain sense, in the language of the Mikdash David, there is a mitzvah to shecht your Karban Pesach for Menuyim. The absence of that is not a posel, it's not a chalos psul in the Karban, it's just you didn't do the mitzvah. And it's meduyak in the Lashon of the Rambam, where the Rambam's Lashon is, ein shochten es ha-Pesach elo le-Menuyav. You're supposed to shecht the Pesach for the Menuyim. The truth is that it's also meduyak, perhaps, in the Lashon of the Psukim, in the Mishnayas. There's a difference between Shalol LeMinuyav, that the problem is that it was not done for the Menuyim, versus Shinoi Bailim, where you made a change in the Karban. And this formulation of not doing it for the Bailim versus changing it for somebody else is the way that the Mikdash David here in the Kutras Acharon in Siman Dalet Sif Katan Beis takes this explanation and applies it. He says, you know what the difference between Shalol LeMinuyav and Shinoi Bailim is? It's not just that conceptually one is a Machshava HaPoselis in the case of Shinoi Bailim and Shalol LeMinuyav is a Choser Hechsher. It's that Shinoi Bailim, the way to create Shinoi Bailim is to replace the current Bailim with another Bailim. A person shechts Olas Ruvain for Shimon. But if a person shechts Olas Ruvain and they say, I'm shechting this not for Olas Ruvain, it's not Shinoi Bailim. There's no Shinoi Bailim because you haven't introduced a new Baal. However, says the Mikdash David, if you shecht a Karban Pesach Shalom for your Bailim, that is a problem. Even if you didn't introduce others. And he uses the Yerushalmi that we mentioned earlier in the case of the guy who shechts for only half of the Chabura, he uses that as a raya. Why should it be that it should be puzzle if you only shechted it for half of the Chabura? Well, because you were not shechting it for the whole Chabura, essentially. You didn't need... It's a strange logic. Oh, I was supposed to shecht it for 10 people. Since I only shechted it for 5 of them, I ripped off the kapara from the second 5, I put it on the first 5, and therefore they're also puzzle. My high. The answer is, because Shalol LeMinuyav, you don't need to be machashev for some other chabura. It's as long as you weren't makayim your din of shechting it for the minuyim on your karban. That's the problem of Shalol LeMinuyav. As opposed to, in the case of Shalol LeBailov, and it's actually interesting that in the Gemara never uses the phrase Shalol LeBailov. The Gemara uses the phrase Shinoi Bailim, because you are changing the Bailim from one person to another. Yeah.
So by the case of Menuyav, Mishinim Menuyav.
Yeah.
So the Menuyav, it is though everyone in the world, and you're just adding more people. Let's say you only had half of the Kibbutz.
So that's the 2 days in that Yerushalmi, exactly. So the Tzlach and the Keren Oren, Zvachim and Naftal and Medbeis have a practical nafgamina from this observation. If you understand that Shalol LeBailov is a fundamental psul in the etzem hakarbon, because you're being mishan of the bialim to try to impose somebody else to be the bialim on this karbon, and therefore it is a machshava haposeles. Well, then you have a tanai that it's got to be mechuyev kapara kamoso, as opposed to shalola menuyev. Shalola menuyev is a local din in karbon pesach. We don't know anything about Mukhiyev Kapara Kamoso. Why would you assume that has to be Mukhiyev Kapara Kamoso? The problem with Shalola Menuyev is the minute that you don't have your Menuyim, it's going to be a problem. So it says that Tzlach, if you shecht your Karban Pesach for a Nachri. If you shecht your Karban Pesach for a Nachri, Mitzad Shinui Bailim, meaning you shechted it, Al Menas Lizrok Lehiskaper Bo Nachri, it will not be a problem, because the Nachri is not Mechuyev Kapara Kamoso, and therefore it's not subject to the limitations of Shalol Levailov. But if you understand that Shalol Menuyev, the concept of Shalol Menuyev, is it's supposed to be only for your Chabura, well, shechting it for zero people is a problem, and shechting it for a Nachri is a problem, because it's not limited to in Mechuyev Kapara Kamoso. It's a little tricky over here. It's trickier for the Rambam, because the Rambam thinks that the psul of Shalol Bailov could apply in any of the Dalet Avodos, as we've seen. So to be mechalik between that and Shalol Menuyev is a little tricky, but Be'etzim, so for Tosfos it's a little easier, but Be'etzim, these are two totally different psul. So to summarize, we... Probably, meaning, according to the Rambam, even though they're both taking place b'sha shechita, one of them is tangential and one of them is essential in terms of the nature of the psul. It's just harder to it's easier, you discern them conceptually, but it's harder to discern them practically. So, to summarize, we talked about the first two psulim in this Mishnah, Shalol Ochlov and Shalol Menuyev. We defined what is Ochlov according to Rashi, and what is Shalola Ochlov? We then thought about the context of Le'ochlov and Shalola Ochlov in the general context of Shalola Shema. We talked about the definition of Shalola Menuyev, what does it mean to be Manoi, whether you need money or not, and we talked about the relationship between Menuyim and Shalola Ochlov. But now, we talked about the relationship between Shalola Menuyev and Shalola Bailov. Whereas according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, that's one din that's mispatzel l'shnayim with two expressions in the context of Karban Pesach. Whereas for the Rambam, it's two totally different dinim on a fundamental level. So Shalola Ochlov, Shalola Menuyev, how Shalola Ochlov relates to Shinei Hashem, and Shalola Menuyev, how that relates to Shinei Hashem.